I'd like to spend some time this morning looking at God's providence and how it relates to His discipline. Many would have us believe that because of God's love for His own children that God would not choose to discipline or chastise His own. And yet we have numerous examples in the Bible where God did just that, where He did provide discipline, where He continues to do that today. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. We're using this for our reference this morning. Let's begin in verse 5. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So that's kind of the passage we're going to go with this morning in looking at God's providence and how it relates to discipline. I sat in a Bible class one time, and it wasn't here, but the question, the topic of that day was, should we fear God? And I can recall one of the older men in that class saying he didn't want to worship a God whom he had to fear. In other words, his idea that God does only good things. Of course, we know He does good things. He has our best interest in mind. But his idea is that God doesn't punish. And we know that God is love, and He's purely love. We know that God also desires us to be obedient. That's what He requires of us. He demands obedience. He demands full submission. And I submit if we don't learn fear and respect, we're never going to fully grasp what God expects of us. And we're not going to expect what He demands. Much like a child loves its parents, but also respects and fears that discipline that comes with bad behavior or something done wrong. A child fears that parent. He respects. And one of the ways that is accomplished is through discipline. We must learn respect and love for God through His discipline. The key to understanding discipline is to understand the purpose behind it. If we don't understand the purpose behind it, we're not going to understand why discipline works. We looked at Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." It says that all things work together for good. That involves both the pleasant and the unpleasant. It involves times of blessing. It involves times of discipline and correction. Even those things that don't seem pleasant for the time. Verse 11 there in Hebrews chapter 12 says it seems painful at the time. But God's providence, His foresight, allows Him to see things that can harm us. Even things that we may not see as harmful at the time, He sees these things in His providence. And therefore, His discipline seeks to help us avoid those things that would cause us to sin and separate us from Him. In the King James Version, we see the term discipline often translated as the term chastise or chastisement. It's a Greek term, P-A-I-D-E-I-A. And Vine's dictionary says it's a term that denotes the training of a child, including instruction. Hence, discipline, correction, chastening. It suggests the Christian discipline that regulates character. When you look that term up in Strong's Concordance, it defines chastisement as the whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals, and employs for this purpose now commands and admonitions, reproof, and punishment. Whatever in adults also cultivates the soul, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. So from these definitions alone, we see that chastisement or discipline involves a development. It's a period of it's a means of development of character. It involves education. It involves correction with the purpose of eliminating those things which are wrong or those things which are sinful in God's sight. That's the purpose of it. Loving discipline or godly discipline is for the good of the one on the receiving end of that discipline. That's the key to understanding God's discipline, is understanding why. Look at a few passages where this term is used. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The term there, training, that's the same term used. It's often rendered discipline or chastisement. The King James Version, I think, uses the term nurture there. It's used here in relation to godly instruction on how fathers have that responsibility to train their children. That's our responsibility as fathers. We have the responsibility of providing training. That involves correction, teaching, instruction, punishment when necessary. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3 and verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The word instruction there is that same Greek term we talked about just a moment ago. Here it refers to God's Word as a tool used for instructing and correcting for the purpose of producing righteousness in the one being taught. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Verse 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." Here we see that same term used in its verb form. Here it refers to godly correction or punishment. But we know, notice also who receives, who's on the receiving end of this divine chastening. Jesus said, "As many as I love, as many as I love." He doesn't do it because He hates us, because He wants to be mean to us. He does these things to those He loves. Now, why would God chastise those He loves? Why would a father use to chastise or discipline his own children? That's the key, again, to understanding God's discipline and providence. Look back at Hebrews chapter 5. We understand the purpose behind discipline. Hebrews 12 and verse 5 again says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him." One of the purposes of God's discipline is to reprove or rebuke. And it's used to do that at a certain time when we go astray. That's what it's used for. As humans, we know we're prone to sin, especially when we're maybe new Christians. We're not spiritually mature as we should be, not as strong as we need to be. This is used, this rebuke or reproving is used, this discipline is used for the purpose of helping us from going astray. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He talks there about the adversary, the devil, how he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants us to pull us away from God. And when that happens, when sin creeps into our life, God often uses discipline as a means. He uses that as a means to correct and rebuke our sin. For what purpose? To get us to see our sin. To get us to realize those things that we are doing are not right in God's sight. Because unless we are willing to admit that, we're not going to make any changes. But just to get us to see our sins, to run away from it, and to be able to be restored to God. You look in verse 6 back in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." We often hear the term tough love. We think about what happens to a child when he or she is let go or free to do or make those choices that they want to make without the guidance and discipline of a parent to be there. What happens to a child who is never disciplined or corrected? You wind up with a spoiled child. A child who will not listen to or submit to authority, who has a problem with authority.
When you look at the chastening being education and training in the way that it's used, you can also apply the term tutorage to tutor. Children, a lot of times, need tutoring to help them to better understand and also to direct them in that path. And we are no different. When we come out of the world, we need that tutoring. That's why he loves us, that he tutors us. It's not that he chastens us when we think of the whoopings and so forth, but right. It's a tutorage, that he's tutoring us in the things that we need to be more proficient in.
Exactly right. That's 2 Timothy, his words given for instruction, to help us, to help guide us, get to guide us in that, to teach. That's the part of discipline. But we know as a child grows, if they fail to submit to authority as a young person, they're going to grow into adults who don't want to submit to authority. They have a problem with authority. And if we aren't willing to submit to God, if we aren't willing to submit to God's authority, we're going to have a bad problem in following the rest of what he teaches, in following those instructions that he gives us to follow. Not saying a person like that can't be corrected. They can, but it makes it tougher.
Lose that submittance all the way up through, everything you deal with.
Yeah.
Society, friendships, you deal with it all the way through the church, through Christ. That's the foundation of the whole plan, yeah. Is submittance.
It's a rampant problem now. And not saying that a person that grows into adulthood like that can't be taught. We know they can.
Right.
But it's tougher. Right. It makes it tougher. But we think about a parent who says they love their children and yet provides no training. A parent that provides no education or instruction, that fails to teach a child anything, do they really love that child, or have they failed their children? I submit that they failed in that. They've not loved that child the way they should have. When we as parents don't correct behavior and actions that are harmful or potentially harmful, we set our children up for failure.
Children, will question authority. I think it's natural for a lot do when they're growing up. They will try.
Sure.
They'll buck authority and try, and it's our responsibility as adults, especially when they're not of an age to be able to reason or do anything else with it, we have to physically discipline them. But, it carries right up into us as adulthood, too, and with God. I mean, look how many times God physically disciplined Israel, his children. There comes a point in time when reasoning to one who doesn't respect authority is give me what I want the way I want it.
That's right.
Or it's wrong. And that's when physical discipline has to come into effect and make the difference.
It's a process, and we start with the teaching, and if they fail to abide by that teaching, there comes a time for punishment. Sure. Any other questions or comments?
Here's a good example of what Mark said of that. Asa, if you want to look at the king of Judah, 2 Chronicles 14, it says that Asa did good and right in the eyes of the Lord, and he removed the altars of the gods to high places. As he progressed in his reign, chapter 16 and verse 7, that he relied himself with the king of Syria, and God sent Hananiah the seer to Asa, king of Judah, and said, "Because you are relied on the king of Syria, not relied on the Lord God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped your hands. Good you have from good, the process of going bad." In verse 10, it says that Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he enraged him. In verse 12, we see God's punishment for that, to bring Asa back in line. We talk about the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet.
Yeah.
Again, this process of chastisement comes in many forms of God's providence.
Exactly right. Good example. We understand that those things are not for our harm. They're for our good. They're intended for good. They're intended that we may learn. He wants us to be in that right relationship with Him, and He expects in that certain things of us. And when we're not willing to submit to that, there comes a process and a time for punishment as well. You look in Proverbs chapter 13. In verse 24, it says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly, allowing a child to continue in bad behavior, a failure to teach right from wrong." Allowing those things that leads to sin does that child no good. Discipline out of love seeks to correct that wrong and put that child back on the right path. You may recall Eli and his sons back in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hophni and Phinehas, and how they abused the sacrifices. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And it was the result of Eli's failure to teach and correct and discipline his sons the way he should have. It led to their demise." Of his sons. Look in chapter 3 at verse 13. It says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." It was his responsibility to do that, to teach, rebuke, restrain. Eli had failed. Had he done that much earlier in life, perhaps these things could have been avoided. Perhaps it would have been a different result. But instead, his failure to discipline led to their wickedness, leading them to an early death pronounced upon them by God. But we know that God does not fail in discipline. He's given us His Word. He's given us His means that we may know His will, that we may have His instruction. And God doesn't fail to discipline, and He does it because He loves us. He wants us to live righteously. Again, in His providence, He knows these things. He sees these things. He knows what we need, and He gives us everything to satisfy those needs. And He loves us enough to provide discipline, to help us avoid those pitfalls. If we'll simply listen to His Word, we can avoid a lot of harm. If we'll simply abide by His teachings and educate ourselves and study, that's a part of it. These things help us from falling deeper and deeper into sin. Back at Hebrews chapter 12 once again. Verses 7 through 9. It says, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you have all become partakers, that you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Now, the purpose behind God's discipline is to prove our sonship, that we belong to God, that we are God's children. And the fact that because we are His children, because we are His own special people, He loves us enough to discipline. As a father, I have, again, the responsibility to my two sons. I have the responsibility to love them, to care for them, to provide those things which they need. And that involves discipline. It involves teaching. It involves education, instruction, and at times punishment for wrong. Because they're my children, I have that responsibility to provide discipline, to rebuke or reprove bad behavior when those times are necessary. It's not the responsibility of anyone else. It's my responsibility. Not saying that other people can't enforce what I teach, but that responsibility belongs to the parents, to Mitzina. They are my sons, and I'm to teach them respect and so on. And similarly, because we as Christians are children of God, we are His own. We belong to God as Christians. We're His people. And because we belong to Him, He looks for our best interest. As I'm to look out for the best interest of my children, God also looks out for our best interest. And provides discipline when necessary. You look in verse 10 and understanding that God disciplines for good. It says, "For they indeed for a few days chastened us, it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Discipline from God is for the profit of his children." Why? That we may share in his holiness, that we may lead lives apart from sin. That's the purpose behind it. In 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 13, 1 Peter 1 and 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you and is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Again, the chastening of the Lord helps us to do this. It teaches us those things that are bad for us, those things that we need to avoid. It teaches that. And if we follow that, that's a part of that discipline, that teaching, that learning that must go on. It corrects wrong when we do wrong. It helps us live as obedient children in subjection to God and His Word. If we hope to live holy lives, it's going to require us to grow and to mature. It's like a child as he grows and matures into adulthood. They must be taught. They must learn those things that are acceptable and those things that are not. They must learn respect. They must learn respect for authority, respect for God. These things, again, must be taught, and it requires discipline. We as Christians must be taught. We must learn. We must make those necessary changes in order to grow into the Christians that God wants us to be. And again, part of that involves teaching and instruction, and part of that involves punishment when we go astray, when necessary. All those things fall under that umbrella of discipline. Look back in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 11. Understand, another purpose for God's discipline is to produce or yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Notice verse 11. It says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The New International Version there says, "A harvest of righteousness and peace." That's the finished product that God desires. He wants us to grow and to mature and be able to produce fruit, to produce this fruit of peace and righteousness, to be productive in what we do. Look in John chapter 15. As Jesus there speaks concerning a parable concerning this very thing. He talks here about the branches and the fruit. In John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." In verse 2 there, Jesus said, "Every branch that bears much fruit, he," meaning God, "prunes, that it may bear more fruit." The King James Version there uses the term purgeth for the word prune. Strong says this word means to cleanse of filth, to prune trees and vines from useless shoots. Even as mature, faithful Christians, we know that temptations don't cease to come. Temptations to sin can creep in. And when this happens, God, through discipline, seeks to correct that sin to help us avoid those temptations, to purge or to prune those things from our life that may cause us to sin and separate us from Him. And He does this so we can produce even more fruit, that we could become even more productive in our service to God. God's discipline, again, has our best interest in mind. He desires us to go to heaven. And we know that if we'll simply follow and submit to Him, that we can make that a reality. Any questions or any more comments on that so far?
You can see it in society today. Like you talk to people, they think that God is a God of love, therefore He won't punish anyone.
Yeah.
And you see it in the parents. You know, they're a God of love. I mean, they're a parent. They love their children, so therefore they don't discipline. They let them do what they want to do. And you don't have to be out around people very long today. You can see the results of that.
Yeah.
Where the children think they can do what they want and get by with it. There shouldn't be any punishment.
Yeah. Yeah, the term love is an action word. We know we love somebody based on what we do for them. We know they love us based on what they do for us. I can look back at the times my parents punished me. It didn't seem real pleasant at the time, but I look back now and know just how much they love me and were willing to teach and to punish when necessary.
Our love has to be great enough that it will overcome our reluctancy or our dread of having to physically discipline.
Yeah.
It has to be greater or it won't happen.
Exactly right. Love for God and love for our children both.
Right.
About Abraham's love for God, how much he loved him and willing to sacrifice Isaac. I mean,
they call that a gospel love. God's love.
That's right.
Many times children don't understand when the parent says, it hurts me more than you.
No, I didn't understand.
It does hurt. You don't let them see them yeah. hurt, you know.
That's right.
Now
you look back and you understand it later on. Absolutely. But again, God's desire is us to remain in a right relationship with Him, to remain His own special treasure. But again, that only happens if we remain obedient. And that's what discipline does. It teaches us to be obedient. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you want to flip back there real quick. God tells Israel, His people, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, as long as they remain obedient to the law, that He would set them high above all nations. Look at verses 1 and 2. I think we've looked at this before, but it's a good example and it fits here. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. But notice also verse 15. It says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And the rest of that chapter, verses 16 through 68, goes through these curses that Israel would face if they failed to be obedient to God. They would face discipline. They would face punishment because of their sin. God did not, and He will not today, allow disobedience and sin for one who seeks to be in a right relationship with Him. That can't happen. If we're to be in a right relationship with God, that relationship we're supposed to have, we need to be free from sin. So He seeks to correct through teaching and sometimes through means of punishment. Understanding how does God discipline? We don't have time to get through this all, but we'll get what we can in the next 5 minutes or so. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 6 through 9. Understand what we're going to face in this life. We're going to face persecutions. We're going to face trials and tribulations. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We are to rejoice in trials, realizing that enduring these trials, we are purified, that we're stronger than we were before. And ultimately, we're going to receive our true desire. Our true desire should be salvation of our soul. Our true desire should be that home in heaven.
You see, in the world today, especially with what we talked about all morning, where authority is not taught, we see when these trials do take place, and they will on all of us,
oh, yeah.
You see a person who's never submitted and only thinks about what I want or what I need, they will find or seek a way around their trials instead of through their trials with God's Word.
That's exactly right.
That leads us off track sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. We seek other means. We don't look to God. We look at other places. That's a good point.
Or excuse yourself of something, you know, whatever it is.
Right. In chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. If we suffer for the cause of Christ, we are not to be ashamed of it. But we are to rather glorify God, even in times of suffering, in times of trials. Look down at verse 19. It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Again, for those who prove themselves faithful, even in times of trial, their souls are committed to God. And again, heaven awaits. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 12. As Mark said, we're assured that even as Christians, we're going to face persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If we're faithful to God, we're assured of it. It's going to come. But notice also back in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. So even in times of persecution, we have to understand that doing God's will must remain our top priority. That we don't look for excuses or we don't look for ways around it. We're going to serve God and we're going to look to Him even in times of persecution and trial. Realizing that in time that trial is going to pass. And that we're going to come out stronger on the other side. Look at Romans chapter 5 and we'll close with this morning. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Said, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Again, through trials and tribulations, we become stronger Christians. We see those things that it produces. It produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And again, we can become stronger Christians. We can produce more fruit in our time here. That's our purpose here. And one of the ways that God gets us to do that is through His discipline. Again, it's a means of development. Not just to think of it as a means of a beating or a spanking. It's through teaching. It's through education. It's through instruction. All these things fall under that umbrella. Any more questions or comments? Thank you.